Hello and welcome to this episode of the Beyond Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Crichton, and today we have a full cast audio adaptation of The Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier, translated by Mary Sidney Herbert. For a more detailed breakdown of the text, to understand in detail the action of the play, do go to our spoilers episodes and our various exploring sessions for more. There is a full content warning in the show description, but in general there are themes of suicide and war throughout. The tragedy is set after the Battle of Actium. Antony has lost, and believes that his ally and love, Cleopatra, has betrayed him. Holed up in Alexandria, surrounded by the troops of Octavian, generally here called Caesar, he remonstrates with himself as to how he got here. The Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier. Translated by Mary Sidney Herbert. With Hayden McCabe as Mark Antony, Pamela Flanagan as Cleopatra, and Simon Nader as Caesar.
Since cruel heavens against me obstinate, since all mishaps of the round engine do conspire my harm, since men, since powers divine, air, earth, and sea are all injurious, and that my queen herself, in whom I lived, the idol of my heart, doth me pursue, its meat I die. For her have I forgone my country, Caesar unto war provoked, for just revenge of sister's wrong, my wife, who moved my queen, me, to jealousy, for love of her, in her allurements caught abandoned life. I honour have despised, disdained my friends, and of the stately robe despoiled the empire of her best attire, contemned that power that made me so much feared, a slave become unto her feeble face. Oh, cruel traitress, woman most unkind, thou dost forsworn my love and life betray, and givest me up to rageful enemy, which soon, oh, fool, will plague thy perjury. Yielded thou hast my ships and men of war, that naught remains, so destitute am I, but these same arms which on my back I wear. Thou shouldst have had them too, and me unarmed yielded to Caesar naked of defence, which while I bear let Caesar never think triumph of me shall his proud chariot grace, nor think with me his glory to adorn on me alive to use his victory. Thou only, Cleopatra, triumph hast. Thou only hast my freedom servile made. Thou only hast me vanquished. Not by force, for forced I cannot be, but by sweet baits of thy eyes' graces, which did gain so fast upon my liberty that naught remained. None else henceforth but thou, my dearest queen, shall glory in commanding Antony. He never shall subject my life to his obedience, but when that death, my glad refuge, shall have bounded the course of my unsteadfast life and frozen corpse under a marble cold within tomb's bosom, widow of my soul, then at his will let him its subject make. Then what he will, let Caesar do with me. Poor Antony! Alas, what was the day, the days of loss that gained thee thy love? Wretch Antony, since Megara pale with snaky hairs enchained thy misery, The fire thee burnt was never Cupid's fire, for Cupid bears not such a mortal brand. It was some Fury's torch, Orestes' torch, which sometimes burnt his mother murdering soul, when wandering mad, rage boiling in his blood, he fled his fort, which followed as he fled. Kindled within his bones by a shadow pale of mother slain returned from Stygian lake. Antony, poor Antony, since that day thy good old hap did far from thee retire. Thy virtue dead, thy glory made alive so oft by martial deeds is gone in smoke. Since then, oh wretch, instead of bloody wars thou shouldst have made upon the Parthian kings for Roman honour filed by Crassus' foil, thou threw'st thou cuirass off and fearful helm with coward courage unto Egypt's queen, in haste to run about her neck to hang languishing in her arms thy idol make. In sum, given up to Cleopatra's eyes. Oh, returned low, dishonored, despised, in wanton love, a woman thee misleads, sunk in foul sink. Meanwhile, respected not thy wife Octavia and her tender babes, of whom the long contempt against thee whets the sword of Caesar, now thy lord become. Lost thy great empire, all those goodly towns, reverence thy name as rebels now thee leave, rise against thee. And to the ensign's flock of conquering Caesar, who in walls thee round caged in thy hold, scarce master of thyself, late master of so many nations. Yet, which is of grief, extremest grief, which is yet of mischief, highest mischief? It's Cleopatra, alas! Alas, it's she augments the torment of thy pain, betrays thy love, thy life, oh, alas, betrays Caesar to please, whose grace she seeks to gain. With thought her crown to save and fortune make, only thy foe which common ought have been. If her I always loved, and the first flame of her heart-killing love shall burn me last, justly complain I she disloyal is. Nor constant is, even as I constant am. To comfort my mishap, despising me no more than when the heavens favoured me. But ah, by nature women wavering are, each moment changing and rechanging minds. Unwise, who blind in them thinks loyalty ever to find in beauty's company.
Nature made us not free, when first she made us live, when we began to be our woe, which growing evermore, as dying life doth grow, do more and more us grieve, and tire us more and more. But still, as long we in this low world remain, mishaps our daily mates, our lives do entertain, and woes which bear no dates still perch upon our heads. None go, but straight will be some greater in their steads. No stay in fading states, for more to height they reach their fellow miseries, the more to height to stretch They cling even to the crown, and threatening furious wise, from tyrannizing pace, do often pull it down. O blessed who never grieved, for whom with pity moved, death from his cradle lead, and swaddled in his grave, and blessed also he, as curse may blessing have, who low and living free, no prince's charge hath proved. By stealing sacred fire, Prometheus then unwise, provoking gods to ire, the heap of ills did stir, and sickness pale and cold, our end which onward spur, to plague our hands too bold, to filch the wealth of skies. War and war's bitter cheer, now long time with us stay, and fear of hated foe, still increases sore, our harms worse daily grow, less yesterday they were, than now, and will be more, tomorrow than today.
Come, you poor people tired with ceaseless plaints, with tears and sighs, make mournful sacrifice on Isis' altars. Not ourselves to save, but soften Caesar and him piteous make to us his prey, that so his lenity may change our death into captivity. Strange are the evils the fates on us have brought. Oh, but alas, how far more strange the cause! Love, love, playing love, which men say kills not, but in soft hearts hath ashes made our towns, and his sweet shafts, with whose shot none are killed, which also not with deaths our lands have filled. All-knowing gods our racks did us foretell, by signs in earth, by signs in starry spheres, which should have moved us, had not destiny with too strong hand warped our misery. The comets flaming through the scattered clouds, with fiery beams, most like unbraided hairs. Blood raining down from heaven in unknown showers, and dead men's ghosts appearing in the night. Yea, even this night, while all the city stood, oppressed with terror, horror, servile fear. So we forsaken both of gods and men, so are we in the mercy of our foes, and we henceforth obedient must become to laws of them who have us overcome.
Lament we our mishaps, drown we with tears our woe, for lamentable haps, lamented easy grow, and much less torment bring, than when they first did spring. We want that woeful song, wherewith would music's queen, doth ease her woes among, fresh springtime's bushes green, on pleasant branch alone, renewing ancient moan. Our plaints no limit stay, nor more than do our woes, both infinitely stray, and neither measure knows. In measure let them plain, who measured griefs sustain.
That I have thee betrayed, dear Antony, my life, my soul, my son, I had such thought. That I have thee betrayed, my lord, my king? That I would break my vowed faith to thee, leave thee, deceive thee, yield thee to the rage of mighty foe? I ever had that heart. Rather sharp lightning lighten on my head. Rather may I to deepest mischief fall. Rather the opened earth devour me. Rather fierce tigers feed them on my flesh. Rather, oh, rather let our Nile ascend to swallow me quick some weeping crocodile. And didst thou then suppose my royal heart had hatched thee to ensnare a faithless love? And changing mind as fortune changed cheer, I would weak thee to win the stronger lose. O wretch, O caitiff, O too cruel hap! And did not I sufficient loss sustain, losing my realm, losing my liberty, my tender offspring, and the joyful light of beamy sun? And yet losing more, thee, Antony, my care, if I lose not what yet remained. Thy love, alas, thy love more dear than sceptre, children, freedom, light! So ready I to row in Charon's barge, shall lease the joy of dying in thy love. So the sole comfort of my misery to have one tomb with thee is me bereft. So I in shady plains shall plain alone, not as I hoped, companion of thy moan. O height of grief!
Why, with continual cries your griefful harms do you exasperate? Torment yourself with murdering complaints. Strain your weak breast so oft, so vehemently. Water with tears this fair alabaster. With sorrow sting so many beauties wound. Come, of so many kings, want you the heart bravely, stoutly this tempest to resist?
My evils are wholly unsupportable. No human force can them withstand but death.
To him that strives, naught is impossible.
In striving lies no hope of my mishaps.
All things do yield to force of lovely face.
My face, too lovely, caused my wretched case. My face hath so entrapped, so cast us down, that for his conquest Caesar may it thank, causing that Antony one army lost, the other wholly did to Caesar yield. For not enduring so his amorous sprite was with my beauty fired, my shameful flight, soon as he saw from rank wherein he stood in hottest fight, my galleys making sail, forgetful of his charge, as if his soul unto his lady's soul had been enchained, he left his men, who so courageously did leave their lives to gain him victory. And careless both of fame and army's loss, my oared galleys followed with his ships, companion of my flight, by this base part blasting his former flourishing renown.
Are you therefore cause of his overthrow?
I am sole cause. I did it, only I.
Fear of a woman troubled so his sprite.
Fire of his love was by my fear inflamed.
And should he then to war have led a queen?
This was not his offence, but mine. Anton, would not I should have taken seas with him, but would have left me, fearful woman, far from common hazard of the doubtful war. Oh, that I had believed! Now of Rome all the great empire at our beck should bend. All should obey. The vagabonding scythes, the feared Germans, backshooting Parthians, wandering Numidians, Britons far removed, but I cared not. So was my soul possessed to my great harm with burning jealousy, fearing lest in my absence Antony should leaving me retake Octavia.
Such was the rigour of your destiny.
Such was my error and obstinacy.
But since gods would not, could you do with all?
Always from God's good haps, not harms, do fall.
And have they not all power on men's affairs?
They never bow so low as worldly cares, but leave to mortal men to be disposed freely on earth whatever mortal is. If we therein sometimes some faults commit, we may them not to their high majesties, but to ourselves impute, whose passions plunge us each day in all afflictions. Wherewith, when we our souls do thorned feel, flattering ourselves, we say they destinies are, that gods would have it so, that our care could not impeach, but that it must be so.
Things here below are in the heavens begot before they be in this our world born. And never can our weakness turn awry the sailless course of powerful destiny. Naught here force, reason, human providence, holy devotion, noble blood prevails. And Jove himself, whose hand doth heavens rule, who both to gods and men as king commands, who earth, our firm support, with plenty stores, moves air and sea with twinkling of his eye, who all can do, yet never can undo what once hath been by their hard laws decreed. Think, madam, that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nihilus ruled force take from you, the gods have willed it so, to whom oft-times princes are odious. They have to everything an end ordained. All worldly greatness by them bounded is, some sooner, later some, as they think best. None their decree is able to infringe, but, which is more, to us disastered men, which subject are in all things to their will is hid. Nor while we live, we know how or how long we must in life remain. Yet must we not for that feed on despair, and make us wretched ere we wretched be, but always hope the best, even to the last, that from ourselves the mischief may not grow. Then, madam, help yourself. Leave off in time Antony's rack, lest it your rack procure. Retire you from him, save from wrathful rage of angry Caesar both your realm and you. You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief. You see him ruined, so as your support no more henceforth can him with comfort raise. Withdraw you from the storm. Persist not still to lose yourself, this royal diadem. Regain of Caesar!
Sooner shining light shall leave the day and darkness leave the night. Sooner moist currents of tempestuous seas shall wave in heaven and the nightly troops of stars shall shine within the foaming waves than I thee, Antony, leave in deep distress. I am with thee. Be it thy worthy soul lodge in thy breast, or from that lodging part crossing the joyless lake to take her place, in place prepared for men or demigods. Live, if thee please, if life be loathsome, die. Dead and alive, Antony, thou shalt see thy princess follow thee. Follow and lament thy rack no less her own than was thy weal.
What helps his rack this everlasting love?
Help or help not, such must, such ought I prove.
Ill done to lose yourself and to no end.
How ill think you to follow such a friend?
But this your love not mitigates his pain.
Without this love I should be inhumane.
Inhumane he who his own death pursues.
Not inhumane, whom misery eschews.
Live for your sons.
Nay, for their father die.
Hard-hearted mother.
Wife kind-hearted I.
Then will you them deprive of royal right?
Do I deprive them? No, it's destiny's might.
Do you not them deprive of heritage, that give them up to adversaries' hands, a man forsaken, fearing to forsake, whom such huge numbers hold environed? To abandon one against whom the frowning world, banded with Caesar, makes conspiring war.
The less ought I to leave him least of all. A friend in most distress should most assist. If that when Antony, great and glorious, his legions led to drink Euphrates' streams, so many kings in train redoubting him, in triumph raised as high as highest heaven, lordlike disposing as him pleased best, the wealth of Greece, the wealth of Asia. In that fair fortune, had I him exchanged for Caesar, then men would have counted me faithless, unconstant, light. But now the storm and blustering tempest driving on his face, ready to drown. Alas, what would they say? What would himself in Pluto's mansion say, if I, whom always more than life he loved, if I, who am his heart, who was his hope, leave him, forsake him, and perhaps in vain, weakly to please who him hath overthrown? Not liked, unconstant, faithless should I be, but vile, forsworn of treacherous cruelty.
Cruelty to shun, you self-cruel are.
Self-cruel him from cruelty to spare.
Our first affection to ourself is due.
He is myself.
Next it extends unto our children, friends, and to our country soil. And you, for some respect of wifely love, albeit scarce wifely, lose your native land, your children, friends, and which is more, your life. With so strong charms doth love bewitch our wits, so fast in us this fire once kindled flames. Yet if his harm by yours redress might have,
with mine it may be closed in darksome grave.
And that, as Alceste to herself unkind, you might exempt him from the laws of death. But he is sure to die, and now his sword, already moisted, is in his warm blood, helpless for any succour you can bring against death's sting, which he must shortly feel. Then let your love be like the love of old, which Carrion Queen did nourish in her heart of her Morselus. Build for him a tomb whose stateliness a wonder new may make. Let him have sumptuous funerals. Let grave thereon the horror of his fights. Let earth be buried with unburied heaps. Make all his combats and courageous acts and yearly plays to his praise institute. Honour his memory. With doubled care, breed and bring up the children of you both in Caesar's grace, who as a noble prince will leave them lords of this most glorious realm.
What shame were that? What infamy? With Antony in his good haps to share, and o'erlive him dead, deeming enough to shed some tears upon a widow tomb. The afterlivers justly might report that I him only for his empire loved, and high estate, and that in hard estate I for another did him lewdly leave.
Oh.
Like to those birds wafted with wandering wings, from foreign lands in springtime here arrive, and live with us so long as summer's heat and their food lasts, then seek another soil. And, as we see with ceaseless fluttering flocking of sealy flies, a brownish cloud to vintaged wine yet working in the tun, not parting thence while they sweet liquor taste, after, as smoke, all vanish in the air, and of the swarm not one so much appear.
By this sharp death, what profit can you win?
I neither gain nor profit seek therein.
What praise shall you of after ages get?
Nor praise nor glory in my cares are set.
What other end ought you respect than this?
My only end, my only duty is.
Your duty must upon some good be founded.
On virtue it, the only good, is grounded.
What is that virtue?
That which us beseems.
Outrage ourselves. Who that beseeming deems?
Finish I will my sorrows dying thus.
Minish you will your glories doing thus.
Good friends, I pray you seek not to revoke my fixed intent of following Antony. I will die. I will die. Must not his life and death by mine be followed? Meanwhile, dear sisters, live. And while you live, do often honour to our loved tombs. Strew them with flowers, and sometimes, haply, the tender thought of Antony, your lord, and me, poor soul, to tears shall you invite, and our true loves your doleful voice commend.
And think you, madam, we from you will part? Think you alone to feel death's ugly dart? Think you to leave us, and that the same sun shall see at once you dead and us alive? We'll die with you, and Clotho pitiless shall us with you in hellish boat embark.
Ah, live, I pray you. This disastered woe which racks my heart alone to me belongs. My lot longs not to you, servants to be no shame, no harm to you as is to me. Live, sisters, live! And seeing his suspect hath causeless me in sea of sorrows drowned, and that I cannot live, if so I would, nor yet would leave this life, if so I could, without his love. Procure me, Diomed, that against poor me he be no more incensed. Rest out of his conceit that harmful doubt that since his wrack he hath of me conceived, though wrong conceived, witness you reverent gods, barking Anubis, Apis bellowing. Tell him,
madam,
my soul burning, impatient, forlorn with love of him, for certain seal of her true loyalty my corpse hath left, to increase of dead the number numberless. Go then. And if as yet he me bewail, if yet for me his heart one sigh forth breathe, blessed shall I be, and far with more content depart this world where so I me torment.
I will obey your will.
So the desert, the gods repay of thy true faithful heart. Mean season us let this sad tomb enclose, attending here till death conclude our woes.
And is't not pity, gods, our gods of heaven, to see from love such hateful fruits to spring? And is't not pity that this firebrand so lays waste the trophies of Philippi fields? Where are those sweet allurements, those sweet looks, which gods themselves right heart sick would have made? What doth that beauty, rarest gift of heaven, wonder of earth? What do those eyes, and that sweet voice, all Asia understood? Is their force dead? Have they no further power? Cannot by them Octavius be surprised? If Jove, in midst of all his ire, with thunderbolt in hand, some land to plague, had cast his eyes on my queen, out of hand, his plaguing bolt had fallen out of his hand. She is all heavenly. Never any man, but seeing her, was ravished with her sight, the alabaster covering of her face, the coral colour her two lips ingrains, her beamy eyes, two suns of this our world, of her fair hair the fine and flaming gold, her brave straight stature and her winning parts are nothing else but fires, fetters, darts. Yet this is nothing to the enchanting skills of her celestial spirit, her training speech, her grace, her majesty, and forcing voice. Whither she it with fingers, speech, consort, or hearing sceptred king's ambassadors answer to each in his own language make? Yet now, at need, it aids her not at all, with all these beauties so her sorrow stings. Darkened with woe, her only study is to weep, to sigh, to seek for loneliness. Careless of all, her hair disordered hangs. Her charming eyes, whence murthering looks did fly, now rivers grown, whose wellspring anguish is, do trickling wash the marble of her face. It's our ill hap, for if her tears she would convert into her loving charms to make a conquest of the conqueror, as well she might would she her force employ. She should us safety from these ills procure, her crown to her, and to her race assure. Unhappy he, in whom self-succour lies, yet self-forsaken, wanting succour, dies.
Ah, Lucilius, sole comfort of my bitter case, the only trust, the only hope I have in last despair. Oh, is not this the day that death should me of life and love bereave? What wait I for that have no refuge left, but am sole remnant of my fortune left? Oh, leave me, fly me, none. No, not of them, which of my greatness, greatest good receives, stands with my fall. They seem as now ashamed, that heretofore they did me aught regard. They draw them back, showing they followed me, not to partake my harms, but cozen me.
In this our world nothing is steadfast found. In vain he hopes, who here his hopes doth ground.
Yet naught afflicts me, nothing kills me so, as that I so my Cleopatra see practice with Caesar, and to him transport my flame, her love more dear than life to me.
Believe it not, Too high a heart she bears, too princely thoughts.
Too wise a head she wears, too much inflamed with greatness, evermore gaping for our great empire's government.
So long time you her constant love have tried.
But still with me good fortune did abide.
Her changed love? What token makes you know?
Pelusium lost, and Actaeon overthrown, both by her fraud. My well-appointed fleet and trusty soldiers in my quarrel armed, whom she, false she, instead of my defence, came to persuade, to yield them to my foe. Witness too well her perjured love to me. But you, O gods, if any faith regard, with sharp revenge her faithless change reward.
The dole she made upon our overthrow, her realm given up for refuge to our men, her poor attire when she devoutly kept the solemn day of her nativity, against the cost and prodigal expense showed when she did your birthday celebrate. Do plain enough her heart unfeigned prove, equally touched, you loving as you love.
Well, be her love to me false or true, once in my soul a cureless wound I feel. I love, nay, burn in fire of her love. Each day, each night, her image haunts my mind. This grief, nay, rage, in me such stir doth keep and thorns me still, both when I wake and sleep. Take Caesar conquest, take my goods, take he Tonner to be lord of the earth alone. My sons, my life bent headlong to mishaps, no force, so not my Cleopatra take. So foolish I cannot her forget. Though better were I banished her, my thought, like to the sick whose throat the fever's fire breath hath vehemently with thirsty drought inflamed. Drink still, albeit the drink he still desires be nothing else but fuel to his flame. He cannot rule himself. His health's respect yieldeth to his distempered stomach's heat.
Leave of this love that thus renews your woe.
I do my best, but cannot do so.
Think how you have so brave a captain been, and now are by this vain affection fallen.
The ceaseless thought of my felicity plunges me more in this adversity. For nothing so a man in ill torments as who to him his good state represents. This makes my rack, my anguish, and my woe equal unto the hellish passions grow, when I to mind my happy puissance call, which erst I had by warlike conquest won, and that good fortune which me never left, which hard disaster now hath me bereft. With terror tremble all the world I made at my sole word. As rushes in the streams at water's will, I conquered Italy, I conquered Rome, that nation so redoubt. When Cassius and Brutus ill betide marched against us, by us twice put to flight, but by my sole conduct. For all the time Caesar heartsick with fear and fever lay. Who knows it not? And how, by everyone, fame of the fact was given to me alone. There sprang the love, the never-changing love, wherein my heart hath since to yours been bound. There was it, my Lucille. You Brutus saved, and for your Brutus Antony you found. Better my hap in gaining such a friend than in subduing such an enemy. Now former virtue dead doth me forsake. Fortune engulfs me in extreme distress. She turns from me her smiling countenance, casting on me mishap upon mishap, left and betrayed of thousand friends once of my suit. But you, Lucille, are left. remaining to me steadfast as a tower in holy love in spite of fortune's blasts.
Men in their friendship ever should be one, and never aught with fickle fortune shake, which still removes, nor will, nor knows the way, her rolling bowl in one sure state to stay. Wherefore we ought, as borrowed things receive the goods light, she lends us to pay again. Not hold them sure, nor on them build our hopes, as on such goods as cannot fail and fall. But think again. Nothing is durable, virtue except our never-failing host. So bearing sail when favouring winds do blow, as frowning tempests may us least dismay, when they on us do fall. Not over-glad with good estate, nor over-grieved with bad. Resist mishap.
Alas, it is too strong. Mishaps oft-times are by some comfort borne. But these, whose weights oppress my heart, too heavy lie, no hope can them relieve. There rest no more, but that with cruel blade for lingering death a hasty way be made.
Caesar, as heir unto his father's state, so will his father's goodness imitate to you, ward, whom he knows, allied in blood, allied in marriage, ruling equally the empire with him, and with him making war have purged the earth of Caesar's murderers. You into portions parted have the world, even like co-heirs their heritages part. And now with one accord, so many years in quiet peace, both have your charges ruled.
Blood and alliance nothing do prevail to cool the thirst of hot ambitious breasts. The son his father hardly can endure, brother his brother in one common realm. So fervent this desire to command, such jealousy it kindleth in our hearts. Sooner will men permit another should love her they love than wear the crown they wear. All laws it breaks, turns all things upside down. Amity, kindred, naught so holy is, but it defiles. A monarchy to gain, none cares which way, so he may it obtain.
Suppose he monarch be, and that this world no more acknowledge sundry emperors, that Rome him only fear, and that he join the east with west, and both at once do rule. Why should he not permit you peaceably discharged of charge and empire's dignity, private to live reading philosophy in learned Greece, Spain, Asia, any land?
Never will he his empire think assured while in this world Mark Antony shall live. Sleepless suspicion, pale distrust, cold fear always to princes' company do bear bread of reports. Reports which night and day perpetual guests from court go not away.
He hath not slain your brother Lucius, nor shortened hath the age of Lepidus, albeit both into his hands were fallen, and he with wrath against them both inflamed. Yet one, as lord in quiet, resteth bear the greatest sway in great Iberia. The other, with his gentle prince, retains of highest priest the sacred dignity.
He fears not them. Their feeble force he knows.
He fears no vanquished, overfilled with woes.
Fortune may change again.
A downcast foe can hardly rise, which once is brought so low.
All that I can is done. For last essay, when all means failed, I to entreaty fell. Oh, coward creature, whence again repulsed of combat, I unto Caesar proffer made. Though he in prime, and I by feeble age, mightily weakened both in force and skill, yet could not he, his coward heart advanced, basely afraid to try so praiseful chance. A man, a woman both in might and mind, in Mars his school, who never lesson learned, should me repulse, chase, overthrow, destroy me of such fame, bring me to Solo and Ebb.
In what part of Earth inhabited, hungry of praise, have you not ensign spread?
Thou knowest rich Egypt, Egypt of my deeds fair and foul subject. Egypt, thou knowest how I behaved me fighting for thy king when I regained him his rebellious realm. Against his foes in battle showing force, and after fight in victory remorse. Yet if to bring my glory to the ground, fortune had made me overthrown by one of greater force, of better skill than I, one of those captains feared so of old, Camille, Marcellus, worthy Scipio, this late great Caesar, honour of our state. Or that great Pompey, aged grown in arms, that after harvest of a world of men made in 100 battles, fights, assaults, my body thorough pierced with push of pike, had vomited my blood, in blood my life, in midst of millions fellows in my fall. The less her wrong, the less should be my woe, nor she should pain, nor I complain me so. No, no, whereas I should have died in arms, and vanquished oft, new armies should have armed, new battles given, and rather lost with me, all this whole world submitted unto me. A man who never saw enlaced pikes with bristled points against his stomach bent, who fears the field and hides him cowardly, dead at the very noise the soldiers make, his virtue, fraud, deceit, malicious guile, his arms, the arts that false Ulysses used, known at Medina, where the consuls both death-wounded were, and wounded by his men to get their army, war with it to make against his faith, against his country's soil, of Lepidus, which to his succours came, to honour whom he was by duty bound, the empire he usurped, corrupting first with baits and bribes the most part of his men. Yet me hath overcome, and made his prey, and state of Rome with me hath overcome. Ah, strange! One disordered act at Actium, the earth subdued, my glory hath obscured. For since, as one whom heaven's wrath attaints, with fury caught, and more than furious vexed with my evils, I never more had care my armies lost, or lost name to repair. I did no more resist.
All wars are fairs, but battles most daily have their success, now good, now ill. And though that fortune have great force and power in every worldly thing, rule all, do all, have all things fast unchained unto the circle of her turning wheel. Yet seems it more than any practice else, she doth frequent Bellona's bloody trade. And that her favour, wavering as the wind, her greatest power therein doth oftenest show. Whence grows, we daily see, who in their youth gat honour there, do lose it in their age, vanquished by some less warlike than themselves, whom yet a meaner man shall overthrow. Her use is not to lend us still her hand, but sometimes headlong back again to throw. When by her favour she hath us extolled unto the top of highest happiness.
Well, ought I curse within my grieved soul, lamenting day and night this senseless love, whereby my fair enticing foe entrapped my heedless reason, could no more escape. It was not fortune's ever-changing face. It was not destiny's changeless violence forged my mishap. Who doth not know they make, nor mar, nor anything can do? Fortune, which men so fear, adore, detest, is but a chance whose course unknown doth rest. Although oft times the cause is well perceived, but not the effect the same that was conceived. Pleasure, naught else, the plague of this our life which still a thousand plagues pursue. Alone hath me this strange disaster spun, fallen from a soldier to a chamberer, careless of virtue, careless of all praise. Nay, as the fatted swine in filthy mire, with glutted heart I wallowed in delights, all thoughts of honour trodden underfoot, so I me lost. For finding this sweet cup pleasing my taste, unwise I drank my fill, and through the sweetness of that poison's power, by steps I drew my former wits astray. I made my friends offended, me forsake. I halt my foes against myself to rise. I robbed my subjects, and for followers I saw myself beset with flatterers. Mine idle arms fair wrought with spider's work, my scattered men without their ensign strayed. Caesar, meanwhile, who never would have dared to cope with me, me suddenly despised, took heart to fight, and hope for victory on one so gone, who glory had foregone.
Enchanting pleasure, Venus' sweet delights weaken our bodies, overcloud our sprites, trouble our reason. From our hearts outchase all holy virtues, lodging in their place. Like as the cunning fisher takes the fish by traitor bait whereby the hook is hid, so pleasure serves to vice instead of food, to bait our souls thereon to licorice. This poison deadly is alike to all, but on great kings doth greatest outrage work, taking the royal sceptres from their hands, thence forward to be by some stranger born, while that their people charged with heavy loads, their flatterers pill and suck their marrow dry, not ruled, but left to great men as a prey, while this fond prince himself in pleasures drowns, who hears naught, sees naught, doth naught of a king, seeming himself against himself conspired. Then equal justice wandereth banished, and in her seat sits greedy tyranny. Confused disorder troubleth all estates, crimes without fear, and outrages are done. Then mutinous rebellion shows her face, now hid with this, and now with that pretense, provoking enemies which on each side enter at ease and make them lords of all. The hurtful works of pleasure here behold.
The wolf is not so hurtful to the fold, frost to the grapes, to ripened fruits the rain, as pleasure is to princes full of pain.
There needs no proof but by the Assyrian king on whom that monster woeful rack did bring.
There needs no proof but by unhappy I who lost my empire on a life thereby.
Yet hath this ill so much the greater force, as scarcely any do against it stand. No, not the demigods the old world knew who all subdued, could pleasure's power subdue. Great Hercules, Hercules once that was wonder of earth and heaven, matchless in might, who Antaeus, Lycus, Geryon overcame, who drew from hell the triple-headed dog, who Hydra killed, vanquished Achilles, who heaven's weight on his strong shoulders bore. Did he not under pleasure's burden bow? Did he not captive to this passion yield, when by his captive so he was inflamed, as now yourself in Cleopatra burn?
In only this like Hercules am I. In this I prove me of his lineage right. in this himself, his deeds I show in this. In this, naught else, my ancestor he is. But go we. Die I must, and with brave end conclusion make of all foregoing harms. Die, die I must. I must a noble death, a glorious death unto my succour call. I must deface the shame of time abused. I must adorn the wanton loves I used with some courageous act, that my last day by mine own hand my spots may wash away. Come, dear Lucilius, alas, why weep you thus? This mortal lot is common to us all. We must all die. Each doth in homage owe unto that god that shared the realms below. Us I no more. Appease your woes. For by your grief, my grief more eager grows.
Alas, with what tormenting fire us martyreth this blind desire to stay our life from flying. Death rather helpful succor gives. Death rather all mishaps relieves that life upon us throweth. And ever to us death unclose the door whereby from cureless woes our weary soul outgoeth. How ceaselessly our minds doth rack, how heavy lies upon our back this dastard fear of dying.
You ever-living gods, which all things hold within the power of your celestial hands, by whom heat, cold, the thunder and the wind, the properties of interchanging months, their course and being have, which do set down of empires by your destined decree, the force, age, time, and subject to no change, change all, reserving nothing in one state. You have advanced as high as thundering heaven the Romans' greatness by Bellona's might, mastering the world with fearful violence, making the world widow of liberty. Yet at this day, the proud exalted Rome, despoiled, captived, at one man's will doth bend, her empire mine. Her life is in my hand. As monarch, I both world and Rome command. Do all, can all. Forth my commandment cast like thundering fire from one to other pole, equal to Jove, bestowing by my word haps and mishaps as fortune's king and lord. No town there is, but up my image sets, but sacrifice to me doth daily make. Or Caesar do both awe and honour bear, and crowned kings his very name doth fear. Antony knows it well, for whom not one of all the princes all this earth do rule arms against me. For all redoubt the power which heavenly powers on earth have made me bear. Antony. Poor man, with fire inflamed, a woman's beauties kindled in his heart, rose against me. Who longer could not bear my sister's wrong, he did so ill entreat. Seeing her left, while that his lewd delights, her husband with his Cleopatra took in Alexandria, where both nights and days their time they passed in naught but loves and plays. all Asia's forces into one he drew, and forth he set upon the azured waves 1,000 and 1,000 ships, which filled with soldiers, pikes with targets, arrows, darts, made Neptune quake, and all the watery troops of Glauces and Tritons lodged at Actium. But mighty gods, who still the force withstand of him who causeless doth another wrong, in less than moment's space, reduced to naught all that proud power by sea or land he brought.
Presumptuous pride of high and haughty spirit, voluptuous care of fond and foolish love, have justly wrought his wrack, who thought he held fortune in his hand. Of us he made no count, but as to play, so fearless came our forces to assay. For no one thing the gods can less abide in deeds of men than arrogance and pride. And still the proud which takes too much in hand shall foulest fall where best he thinks to stand.
Right as some palace or some stately tower which overlooks the neighbour buildings round in scorning wise, and to the stars upgrows, which in short time his own weight overthrows. What monstrous pride! Nay, what impiety incensed him onward to the god's disgrace, when his two children, Cleopatra's brats, to Phoebe and her brother he compared, Latona's race, causing them to be called the sun and moon? Is not this folly right? And is not this the gods to make his foes? And is not this himself to work his woes? Lydia to her and Syria he gave, Cyprus of gold, Arabia, rich of smells. And to his children more, Cilicia, Parthia, Medes, Armenia, Phoenicia, the king of kings proclaiming them to be, by his own word, as by a sound decree.
What? Robbing his own country of her due? Triumphed he not in Alexandria, of Artabasus, the Armenian king, who yielded, on his perjured word, to him?
Nay, never Rome more injuries received, since thou, O Romulus, by flight of birds with happy hand the Roman walls didst built, than Antony's fond loves to it hath done. Nor ever war more holy, nor more just, nor undertaken with more hard constraint than is this war, which, were it not, our state within small time all dignity should lose. Though I lament, thou son my witness art, and thou, great Jove, that it so deadly proves, that Roman blood should in such plenty flow, watering fields and pastures where we go.
Surely the gods have made you victor, that you might redress their honour, grown by past mischiefs less.
The sealy man, when o'er the Greekish sea his fleet had hid, in hope me sure to drown, me battle gave, where fortune in my stead, repulsing him, his forces disarrayed. Himself took flight, soon as his love he saw all won through fear with full sails fly away. His men, though lost, whom none did now direct, with courage fought, fast grappled ship with ship, charging, resisting as their oars would serve, with darts, with swords, with pikes, with fiery flames, so that the darkened night her starry veil upon the bloody sea had overspread, whilst yet they held. And hardly, hardly then they fell to flying on the wavy plain, all full of soldiers overwhelmed with waves. The air throughout with cries and groans did sound, the sea did blush with blood. The neighbour shores groaned, so they with shipwrecks pestered were, and floating bodies left for pleasing food to birds and beasts and fishes of the sea. You know it well, Agrippa.
A meat it was. The Roman Empire so should ruled be as heaven is ruled, which turning over us, all under things by his example turns. Now, as of heaven one only Lord we know, one only lord should rule this earth below. When one self-power is common made to two, their duties they nor suffer will, nor do. In quarrel still, in doubt, in hate, in fear. And meanwhile, the people all the smart do bear.
Then to the end none, while my days endure, seeking to raise himself, may suckers find. We must with blood mark this our victory, for just example, to all memory, murder we must, until not one we leave, which may hereafter us of rest bereave.
Mark it with murders? Who of that can like?
Murders must use. Who doth assurance seek?
Assurance call you enemies to make?
I make no such, but such a way I take.
Nothing so much as rigour doth displease.
Nothing so much doth make me live at ease.
What ease to him that feared is of all?
Feared to be and see his foes to fall.
Commonly, fear doth breed and nourish hate.
Hate without power comes commonly too late.
A feared prince hath oft his death desired.
A prince not feared hath oft his wrong conspired.
No guard so sure, no fort so strong doth prove, no such defence as is the people's love.
Not more unsure, more weak, more like the wind than people's favour, still to change inclined.
Good gods, what love to gracious prince men bear.
What honour to the prince that is severe.
Nought more divine than his benignity.
Nought likes the gods as doth severity.
Oh, gods all forgive.
On faults they pains do lay.
And give their goods.
Oft times they take away.
They wreak them not, O seas, at each time that by our sins they are to wrath provoked. Neither must you, believe, I humbly pray, your victory with cruelty defile. The gods it gave, it must not be abused, but to the good of all men mildly used. And they be thanked that having given you grace to reign alone and rule this earthly mass, they may henceforward hold it still in rest, all scattered power united in one breast.
But what is he that breathless comes so fast, approaching us and going in such haste?
He seems afraid. And under his arm a bloody sword espy.
I long to understand what it may be.
He hither comes. It's best we stay and see.
What good god now my voice will reinforce, that tell I may to rocks and hills and woods, to waves of sea which dash upon the shore, to earth, to heaven, the woeful news I bring.
What sudden chance thee towards us hath brought?
A lamentable chance.
What monstrous hap wilt thou recount?
Alas, too hard mishap. When I but dream of what mine eyes beheld, my heart doth freeze. My limbs do quivering quake, I senseless stand. My breast with tempest tossed kills in my throat my words ere fully born. Dead, dead he is. Be sure of what I say, this murthering sword hath made the man away.
Alas, my heart doth cleave. Pity me, Rax, my breast doth pant to hear this doleful tale. Oh, is Antony then dead? To death, alas! I am the cause despair him so compelled. But, soldier, of his death the manner show, and how he did this living light forego.
When Antony, no hope remaining, saw him betrayed by all his men of war in every fight, as well by sea as land, that not content to yield them to their foes, they also came against himself to fight. Alone in court he gan himself torment, accuse the queen himself of her lament, called her untrue and traitress. As who sought to yield him up, she could no more defend.
that in the harms which for her sake he bare, as in his blissful state she might not share. But she again, who much his fury feared, gat to the tombs, dark horror's dwelling place, made lock the doors and pull the hearses down, then sent him word. She was no more alive, but lay enclosed dead within her tomb. This he believed.
Poor hopeless man.
And fell to sigh and groan, and crossed his arms. Then thus began to moan. Ah, Antony, why dost thou death defer?
Since fortune, thy professed enemy, hath made to die who only made thee live.
Soon as with sighs he had these words upclosed, his armour he unlaced and cast it off. Then all this armed he thus again did say.
My queen, my heart, the grief that now I feel, is not that I your eyes, my son, do lose. For soon again one tomb shall us conjoin. I grieve, whom men so valorous did deem should now than you of lesser valour seem.
So said, forthwith he Eros to him called. Eros, his man.
Eros!
Summoned him on his faith to kill him at his need. Eros took the sword, and at that instant stabbed therewith his own breast.
Eros!
And ending life, fell dead before his feet.
Oh, Eros, thanks for this most noble act, whose powerless me to kill on thee has done what I on me should do.
Of speaking thus, he scarce had made an end, and taken up the bloody sword from ground, but he his body pierced, and of red blood the gushing fountain all the chamber filled. He staggered at the blow. His face grew pale, and on a couch, all feeble down, he fell, sounding with anguish. Deadly cold him took, as if his soul had then his lodging left. But he revived, and marking all our eyes bathed in tears, and how our breasts we beat for pity, anguish, and for bitter grief, to see him plunged in extreme wretchedness, he prayed us all to
haste my lingering death.
But no man willing, each himself withdrew. Then fell he new to cry and vex himself, until a man from Cleopatra came, who said from her he had commandment to bring him to her, to the monument. The poor soul at these words, even rapt with joy, knowing she lived, prayed us him to convey unto his lady. Then, upon our arms, we bear him to the tomb, but entered not, for she so feared captive to be made, and that she should to Rome in triumph go, kept closed the gate, but from a window high cast down a cord wherein he was impacked. Then, by her women's help, the corpse she raised, and by strong arms into her window drew. So pitiful a sight was never seen. Little and little Antony was pulled, now breathing death. His beard was all unkempt, his face and breast all bathed in his blood, so hideous yet, and dying as he was, his eyes half closed upon the queen he cast.
held up his hands and help himself to raise. But still with weakness back his body fell. The miserable lady with moist eyes, with hair which careless on her forehead hung, with breast which blows had bloodily benumbed, with stooping head and body downward bent, enlaced her in the cord. And with all force this life-dead man courageously upraised. The blood with pain into her face did flow, her sinews stiff, herself did breathless grow. The people, which beneath in flocks beheld, assisted her with gesture, speech, desire, cried and encouraged her, and in their souls did sweat and labour no whit less than she, who never tired in labour, held so long, helped by her women and her constant heart, that Antony was drawn into the tomb. And there, I think, of dead augments the sum. The city all to tears and sighs is turned, to plaints and outcries horrible to hear. Men, women, children, hoary-headed age, do all pell-mell in house and street lament, scratching their faces, tearing up their hair, wringing their hands, and martyring their breasts. Extreme their dole, and greater misery in sack towns can hardly ever be. Not if the fire had scaled the highest towers, that all things were of force and murderful, that in the streets the blood in rivers streamed. Now, my breast wounded with their piteous plaints, I left their town, and took with me this sword, which I took up at what time Antony was from his chamber carried to the tomb, and brought it to you to make his death more plain, and that thereby my words may credit gain.
Ah, gods, what cruel hap! Poor Antony! Alas, hast thou this sword so long time borne against thy foe, that in the end it should of thee, his lord, the cursed murderer be? O death, how I bewail thee! We, alas, so many wars have ended, brothers, friends, companions, cousins, equals in estate. And must it now to kill thee be my fate?
Why trouble you yourself with bootless grief? For Antony, why spend you tears in vain? Why darken you with dole your victory? Meseems yourself your glory do envy. Enter the town. Give thanks unto the gods.
I cannot but his tearful chants lament, although not I, but his own pride, the cause and unchaste love of this Egyptian.
But best we sought into the tomb to get, lest she consume in this amazed case so much rich treasure, with which haply despair in death may make her feed the fire, suffering the flames her jewels to deface, you to defraud her funeral to grace. Send then to her, and let some mean be used with some device, so hold her still alive with some fair large promise, and let them mark whether they may by some fine cunning sleight enter the tombs.
Let Proculeus go, and feed with hope her soul disconsolate. Assure her so, that we may wholly get into our hands her treasure and herself. For this of all things most I do desire, to keep her safe until our going hence, that by her presence
beautified may be, the glorious triumph Rome prepares for me.
Shall ever civil bait gnaw and devour our state? Shall never we this blade our blood have bloody made lay down? These arms down lay as robes we wear alway, but as from age to age, so pass from rage to rage. Our hands shall we not rest to bathe in our own breast, and shall thick in each land our wretched trophies stand to tell posterity what mad impiety our stony stomachs led against the place us bred. Then still must heaven view the plagues that us pursue, and everywhere descry heaps of us scattered lie, making the stranger plains fat with our bleeding reins, proud that on them their grave so many legions have. But since the rule of Rome to one man's hand is come, who governs without mate her now united state, late jointly ruled by three, envying mutuality, whose triple yoke much woe on Latin's necks did throw. I hope the cause of Jar, and of this bloody war and deadly discord gone by what we last have done, our banks shall cherish now the branchy pale-hued bough of olive, Pallas praise, instead of barren bays. And that his temple door, which bloody Mars before held open, now at last old Janus shall make fast, and rust the sword consume, and spoiled of waving plume, the useless Morion shall on crook hang by the wall. At least, if war return, it shall not here sojourn to kill us with those arms were forged for others' arms, but have their points addressed against the Germans' breast, the Parthians' feigned flight, the Biscayne's martial might.
Oh, Antony, by my fault buriable. Oh, hellish work of heaven! Alas! The wrath of all the gods at once on us is fallen. Unhappy queen! Oh, would I in this world the wandering light of day had never seen! Alas! Of mine the plague and poison, I the crown have lost my ancestors me left. This realm I have to strangers subject made and robbed my children of their heritage. Yet this is naught, alas, unto the price of you, dear husband, whom my snares entrapped, of you whom I have plagued, whom I have made with bloody hand a guest of mouldy tomb, of you whom I destroyed, of you, dear lord, whom I of empire, honor, life have spoiled. And can I yet live, yet longer live in this ghost-haunted tomb? Can I yet breathe, can yet in such annoy, yet can my soul within this body dwell? O sisters, you that spin the threads of death, O Styx, O Plegathon, you brooks of hell, O imps of night!
Oh. Queen, live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now, meseems, I see these little souls to servile bondage fallen and born in triumph.
Oh, most miserable!
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Oh, gods, what pity more!
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good God, such mischief send.
And pointed at with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife, some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrue.
Oh, my heart breaks. By shady banks of hell, by fields whereon the lonely ghosts do tread, by my soul and the soul of Antony, I you beseech you, Fran, of them have care. Be their good father. Let your wisdom let that they fall not into this tyrant's hands. Adieu, dear children. Children dear, adieu. Good Isis, you to place of safety guide, far from our foes, where you your lives may lead, in free estate devoid of servile dread. Remember not, my children, you were born of such a princely race. Remember not so many brave kings which have Egypt ruled, in right descent your ancestors have been. That this great Antony your father was, Hercules' blood and more than he in praise, for your high courage such remembrance will, seeing your fall with burning rages fill. Who knows if that your hand's false destiny, the scepters promised of imperious Rome, instead of them shall crooked sheep hooks bear, needles or forks, or guide the cart or plow. Oh, learn to endure. Your birth and high estate forget, my babes, and bend to force of fate. Farewell, my babes. Farewell, my heart is closed with pity and pain. Myself with death enclosed, my breath doth fail. Farewell forevermore. Your sire and me you shall see nevermore. Farewell, sweet care. Farewell.
Madam, adieu. Oh,
this voice kills me. Oh, good gods. I swoon.
Madam. Madam. Alas.
I can no more. I die.
And will you yield to woe? Oh, speak to us.
Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas. Ugh. If murdering dart of death arrive while that in slumbering swoon half dead she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas. Weep over Antony, let not his body be without due rites entombed.
Oh, oh.
Madam,
I
mean, how faint she is.
My sisters hold me up. How wretched I, how cursed am. And was there ever one by fortune's hate into more dollars thrown? Oh, weeping Niobe. Although thy heart beholds itself enwrapped in causeful woe for thy dead children, that a senseless rock with grief become, unsipulous thou stands in endless tears, yet didst thou never feel the weights of grief that on my heart do lie. Thy children thou, mine I poor soul have lost, and lost their father. More than them I wail, lost this fair realm. Yet me the heaven's wrath into a stone not yet transformeth hath. Phaeton's sister, daughters of the sun, which wail your brother fallen into the streams of stately Pa. The gods upon the banks your bodies to bank-loving alders turned. For me, I sigh, I ceaseless weep and wail, and heaven, pitiless, laughs at my woe, revives, renews it still, and in the end, oh, cruelty, doth death for comfort lend. Die, Cleopatra. Then no longer stay from Antony, who thee at Styx attends. Go join thy ghost with his, and sob no more without his love within these tombs enclosed.
Alas, yet let us weep, lest sudden death from him our tears and those last duties taken to his tomb we owe. Oh, let us weep. While moisture lasts, then die before his feet.
Who furnish will mine eyes with streaming tears, my boiling anguish worthily to wail? Wail thee, Antony. Antony, my heart. Alas, how much I weeping liquor want. Yet have mine eyes quite drawn their conduits dry by long beweeping my disastered harms. Now reason is that from my side they suck first vital moisture, then the vital blood. Then let the blood from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine inmixture grow. Moist it, and heat it new, and never stop all watering thee whilst yet remains one drop.
Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die.
These sacred obsequies, take Antony, and take them in good part.
Antony, poor Antony, my dear soul, now but a block, the booty of a tomb. Thy life, thy heat is lost, thy color gone, and hideous paleness on thy face hath seized. Thy eyes, two suns, the lodging place of love, which yet for tents to warlike Mars did serve, locked up in lids. As fair day's cheerful light, which darkness flies, do winking hide in night. Antony, by our true loves I thee beseech, and by our heart's sweet sparks have set on fire our holy marriage, and the tender ruth of our dear babes, not of our amity. My doleful voice thy ear let entertain, and take me with thee to the hellish plain, thy wife, thy friend. Hear, Antony, oh, hear my sobbing sighs, if here thou be or there. Lived thus long the winged race of years, ended I have as destiny decreed, flourished and reigned, and taken just revenge on him whom me both hated and despised. Happy, alas, too happy, if of Rome only the fleet had hither never come. And now of me an image great shall go under the earth to bury there my woe. What say I? Where am I? Oh, Cleopatra, poor Cleopatra, grief thy reason reaves. No, no. Most happy in this hapless case to die with thee and dying thee embrace. My body joined with thine, my mouth with thine, my mouth whose moisture's burning sighs have dried to be in one self tomb and one self chest and wrapped with thee in one self sheet to rest. The sharpest torment in my heart I feel is that I stay from thee, my heart, this while. Die will I straight now. Now straight will I die. And straight with thee a wandering shade will be. Under the cypress trees thou haunt'st alone, where brooks of hell do falling seem to moan. But yet I stay, and yet thee overlive, that ere I die due rites I may thee give. A thousand sobs I from my breast will tear. With thousand plaints thy funeral adorn. My hair shall serve for thy oblations, my boiling tears for thy effusions, mine eyes thy fire, for out of them the flame which burnt thy heart on me enamored came. Weep, my companions, weep, and from your eyes rain down on him of tears a brinish stream. Mine can no more. Consumed by the coals which from my breast as from a furnace rise. Martyr your breasts with multiplied blows, with violent hands tear of your hanging hair, outrage your face. Alas, why should we seek, since now we die, our beauties more to keep? I spent in tears, not able more to spend. But kiss him now. What rests me more to do? Then let me kiss you. You fair eyes, my light, front seat of honor, face most fierce, most fair. O neck, O arms, O hands, O breast, where death, O mischief, comes to choke up vital breath. A thousand kisses, thousand, thousand more, let you my mouth for honor's farewell give, that in this office weak my limbs may grow, fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow.
In The Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier, translated by Mary Sidney Herbert, Mark Antony was played by Hayden McCabe. Philostratus, Mark Scanlon. Cleopatra, Pamela Flanagan. Eris, Sarah Golding. Diomed, Geir Madeland. Charmian, Lee MacDonald. Lucilius, Rob Meissen. Caesar, Simon Nader. Agrippa, Hugh Wellapooley. Euphron, Richard Fawcett. The Child, by Gillian Horgan. The general chorus were Pamela Flanagan, Gillian Horgan, Seb Ransom, and Robert Crichton. Roman chorus, Geir Madeland. The play was produced and hosted by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. If you've enjoyed this production, support our continuing work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare or buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. Links are in the show description. Or you can follow us online on Twitter, Facebook or Instagram at Beyond Shakes, or visit our website at beyondshakespeare.org. Goodbye.